The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.' For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intentions of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" This is the word of the Lord. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. At that time Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? It's a rhetorical question, because the temptation for the Hebrews was to imagine that God was just like them, no more than a man, with all of man's exploitable weaknesses. When you talk behind your neighbor's back, there is the chance, however small, that she won't hear it. But the Lord hears all. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord. He does. There is no secret place where God cannot see. He's not only at hand, but he's also afar off. Now, our temptation is slightly different, perhaps. We're not startled toward repentance to hear that God is far away. In fact, we are likely to live each and every day as if he were far away. More than that, maybe even as if he didn't exist at all. We desperately need to be reminded of the opposite thing, that we have a God who is very much at hand. We are functional atheists. You believe in God. You know more theology than your average neighbor. You probably certainly know more about the Bible than the Catholics. And yet, most of your life is not animated by God. It's not driven by His truth. Even where prayers are a regular habit, with Bible reading too, it is still possible to proceed in life as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. It's worth asking in our times, what is it that distinguishes me and you and us as Christians from non-Christians? As the Lord says today, we can be judged by our fruits. So what is it that grows and thrives in our day-to-day lives? The way we live exhibits how we approach our life. And the way that we approach our life in any of its details shows what we think, how we view this world. So that's the question. Where do our thoughts come from? What is the Spirit that inspires us? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it the Spirit of the times? Do we proceed as if there even is a God? More to the point, do we proceed as if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is coming again? Do we proceed as if our sins are forgiven and Christ alone is our righteousness, full and complete? Do we proceed as if our worth, our value, were counted in precious drops of blood from God's veins? And even so, these questions betray us, don't they? Because why is it that we keep saying, as if? A Christian proceeds, lives, breathes, trusts, and loves because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, the unexamined life will always be functionally atheistic, not believing, acting as if God did not exist, as if. The life that occasionally or only rarely comes under the living finger of God, that is, under His Word, will always be cold and dull toward Him. Now, it'll be busy. It'll be busy busying itself with the many things that seem to be so essential, so important, so even worth dying for, or at least living for. But it will be utterly bored with the things of God. Bored with God Himself. Bored, most of all, with doctrine. With the teachings about God and about life from God. Especially if any bit of it is complicating at all, or worse, is challenging to the way I do things and see things. And such a life is going to be very frustrated with all of the many unimportant things, right? Like denominations and churches and all of the squabbles that have been here since Cain and Abel. And those are lifeless, pointless things, right? Well, and what will we put in its place? What is it that will animate us instead? Well, we'll call it self-esteem or positivity or maybe productivity. And we will delight in being the change or in making time for me. And we'll rise above all of those petty squabbles, those unanswerable questions, right, that always divide, and seek instead something that always appeals to us. Fun, entertainment, comfortability, success, mindfulness, maybe. Mostly, we'll seek ourselves, to have our minds full of ourselves. And if God were here, surely He'd want that, right? Now, I wanted to say in today's sermon that the prophets that we hear around our world today in the 21st century don't really proclaim dreams to us like in Jeremiah's day. But gosh, they do, don't they? In fact, literally, the most popular preachers in America today have begun to claim that God is talking to them in dreams, just like it sounds. But whatever the language, whether it's literal or figurative dreams, false prophets all have this in common. They are always training their disciples in their ways and training them to be followers of themselves. And the Lord knows what animates them. And the Lord knows just as surely what sins tempt you and me now. So he said by Jeremiah, "How long shall it be, and shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies?" That is, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another. Just in the same way that the fathers of old forgot my name for Baal, the idol. As the Lord called for repentance through Jeremiah, so in the same way Christ himself calls today in the gospel reading. Beware false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. It means they're difficult to see because they don't seem harmful. Inwardly, though, they are ravenous wolves. And the Lord does not warn like this because He can't see them or something. He doesn't warn us about them because He knows His truth can't compete with them. Nonsense. No, He warns us because the time will come when He is going to leave the false prophets and all of their followers with them lost in their own dreams. Let the prophet who has a dream go ahead, tell his dream. But let him who has my word speak my word and faithfully. Because what has straw in common with the wheat, declares the Lord, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Well, the fruit of a farmer is his wheat. Prime wood aside, straw is not a crop that you can turn in. And likewise, the fruit of a prophet or a preacher is that prophecy. It is the teaching and the doctrine that they bring. The Lord Jesus is saying, both in the Old Testament and in the Gospel, in the New, that Christians like you and I must care about doctrine. We must care about it. We must be diligent. And this is the antidote to what plagues us. This is the antidote to functional atheism. Because what is it that our age seems to care least about, if not doctrine? Dogma. Theology. Are there any more dirty words, right? But what do they mean? They mean fire. They mean wheat. They are something more precious than gold. The God who is both far away and at hand, the one who fills heaven and earth, He speaks. He is not silent. His words are not empty or cold or dull. They are like fire. They're like a hammer that breaks the rocks. Bad or good, you can't ignore it. They have often pierced even our stony, hard hearts to bring us to repentance. And they have given us the word that functional atheists and every other type of me seeker desperately needs to hear. The announcement that He forgives, that He calls, that He gathers us as His own and promises us that we are His heirs. His are the words that justify our continuing existence. His are the words that give us not only a place in life, but a name to be proud of, and a hope for the future. And what the Lord speaks is not founded on wispy, fading dreams. He's no figment. He's no dream. He stands firmer than the earth's foundations because He laid them. And those words, those teachings of His, point us where? Point us always to Himself, and Himself in the flesh. Now, how much more at hand could this God be? Bleeding for our pardon, and raised for our resurrection, and alive to feed life to the dying. The chief temptation, going back all the way to Adam and Eve themselves, is always to put the intention of our hearts first. Deep down, humans really do love doctrine, although I know that you wouldn't call it by that name. But we love the doctrines that we teach ourselves. Thus, we are living in the times that St. Paul, that faithful and true prophet, talked about. Times when people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itching ears. And they'll scratch them. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Or could there be a greater myth than the one that says there is no God, or the one that says even if there is, He remains far away for the most part? Except, of course, the moments that your dreams need a little help. Dear saints, in place of this, we must have the hammer strike us again. And we must be filled with the fire that burns and yet does not consume. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who comes always and only by the external Word of God, by the Holy Scriptures, by His sacraments, by the teaching of God, rather than by our dreaming from our deceitful hearts. And that's the mark of true prophecy. The one who has God's true word must simply speak it faithfully, repeating themselves, saying what they have heard when they stood in His council, that is, when they stood in the Holy Scriptures, which are for us now in the last days, when Jeremiah says it will be understood. They are for us the only infallible source of faith and life. True doctrine is just this. It is what God says. And that is more precious than gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from honeycomb. It's the very source of life itself. Without true doctrine, teaching, that means without faith, and its fruit of repentance and holiness, God is still going to see everything. He's a God at hand and far away. Functional atheists can't pretend Him away any better than the full-fledged ones are able to do. But the doctrine of the gospel in the blood of Jesus Christ, what Jeremiah calls the intentions of His heart, not ours, this is the only way that any of us can conclude that that all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful and all-too-real at hand God is not angry with us, as it sure seems He should be, but loves us. How can that be? Only by the doctrine of Christ His Son. That's how you can have confidence that His ceaseless oversight of every facet of our life is in fact not for our harm, but always for our good. Only this teaching reveals the place where the will of the Father is fully satisfied, and that wrath of God is turned back, because all is accomplished in Christ. And only this Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, sons of God, co-heirs with Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.